Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
How's it going?
It's going all right.
You got some giant, new, heavy, expensive Apple headphones?
I do not.
Oh, neither do I. Neither do
I. Must have got lost in the mail.
Neither do I. I got briefed on this one, and I expected that they would send me some, and they didn't. And
we just thought you'd like to know.
I wonder
about
if they ran out or something. But I'm not telling. Nobody tell Apple, because I am just spectacularly not qualified to review that product, because I have no, I don't use over-ear headphones. I don't know anything about the category. I did buy a pair of the Sonys that my son uses now, because I don't use them. I don't like over-ear headphones. Mm-hmm. I don't want over-ear headphones, and I'm relieved that I don't have another Apple product that I'm supposed to review this fall, because I don't know what I would say about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I have used over-the-ear headphones. In fact, I'm using them right now as we record.
It's coming from inside the house.
Inside the podcast. But I've switched mostly to AirPods Pro. I mean, we talked a little bit about this here on Clockwise this week. We discussed this a bit. And like, you know, I have a pair of the Bose ones, which are literally sitting in shrink wrap on my desk, which I think we talked about last week. And I certainly would not go out of my way to spend $550 on them. I'm not a purist when it comes to sound. I appreciate good headphones as much as the next person, but I'm not somebody who's going to go out and drop a lot of money on headphones.
I am a
just
purist.
To try and get slightly better sound.
I'm a purist when it comes to sound, in that I prefer no images or smells. Quite
audio
frankly,
only. Sure.
Sound. I do want only sound. So in that way, I am a sound purist. But I get what you're saying. I don't like the feel. I mean, I know this is just a personal preference thing, is that everybody talked about the AirPods and the AirPods Pro, and they're like, oh, but they go in your ears, and I don't like that, because there's definitely a school of thought of, like, I want the over-ear, the cans, and I'm not one of those people. I have in-ear headphones, and I love them, so I'm on the other side of the... So I look at this like they looked at the AirPods Pro, which is sort of like, so, which is fine. It's great that there's something I'm sure they sound good.
Yeah, I think the things that interest me are sort of the broader strategic moves here, which is Apple expanding the AirPods line beyond just in-ear headphones.
Yep.
Staking out, as it traditionally does, sort of the high-end luxury ground for this as well. And we should note, like, you know, there's a lot of talk on the price. And you wrote a thing this week on Macworld that I thought was really good about explaining how you figure out where Apple prices things. But I think also worth taking into account here is just this idea that, like, compared to what, right? Like, overpriced is a weird term, because overpriced implies that there is a standard going rate for these things. And while there are competing products that are at a lower price point, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are, an apples to apples, if you will, comparison. There are, as we well know, high-end audio headphones that go for like $1,000 or more, right? You can spend a lot of money on audio. And so the question is, as it kind of was with the HomePod when that came out, and Apple certainly seems to have, I don't want to say an inflated opinion, but like they have a, what's the right word? They are very proud of the audio that they think they are, the audio devices they think they're making, right? Like yeah. they say these things are
about them.
Exactly. Like they say these things are, you know, like, oh, we're charging this much, but it's like, you know, if you bought a thing that was like comparative, it would be thousands. It's like kind of when they talk about the XDR yeah. display, right? Like, oh yeah, it's $6,000, but if you want a reference monitor, it's $40,000. You know, it's
yeah. And in this case, there's, you know, there's a legitimate question about like what is the quality of these, and we'll find sure. out as yep. people go, and everybody's got a different thing. I look at this. So I wrote my Macworld column this week. It's a column I've been wanting to write for a long time, and I used this as an opportunity to do it. It's basically it could be replaced with a GIF of the Man in Black from The Princess Bride saying, get used to disappointment. It's literally what it is. It's about Apple pricing. And the idea, it's all my stuff that I card out from time to time about, you know, imagine what you want to pay for an Apple product. Now add a bunch of money onto that. Now round up, right? Like it's really going to hurt, because that is part of Apple's game.
Never go down for Apple's products.
And you live like that, and then you're surprised when they do a MacBook Air for $999, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, look at that, or a Mac a Mac Mini for $699. You're like, oh, look at you. But most of the time, you won't be, because it will be expensive. And what gets baked in there, and this is the thing that you know, I think they know. I think the people who whine about Apple product, the people who are like, don't get the ecosystem, I think they actually do get the ecosystem, but they like to complain about Apple. And so they say things like, oh, like, it's impossible. There's one guy on Twitter who's like, it's impossible that these will be worth the money. I'm like, well, have you heard them? Like, have you heard them? Yeah. It is possible. Apple has in the past released products where you're like, wow, this is actually really great for the price because it's super high end and so it's expensive, but it's really good. Now, I'm not saying that these headphones are going to be like that. They're probably not. But what I think they miss or they deliberately ignore is all the other things. Like, I listed it for the guy on Twitter. I'm like, okay, here are the reasons why it may or may not be $150 more worthwhile than the competition. But just to throw them out there, you like the design, you like the look of them, you like the metal kind of feel, the weight of them, that works for you. Apple's got best in class wireless chips,
yeah,
basically.
H1
so
stuff, yeah.
You'll have to go down to AirPods or the Beats stuff if you want to get that, and that may be valuable to you. It's in Apple's product line. It's part of the ecosystem. You're in an Apple store. You're buying something online. You like Apple products. You're confident in the quality of them. You don't mind paying more for that. The whole audio processing thing they've done with a spatial audio stuff is really interesting and might be a thing that makes them more than the competition in that way. There are definitely going to be things, even if they sound exactly the same playing stereo audio track as the Sonys or the Boses that cost a couple $100 less, there are still plenty of reasons that some people will spend more money and buy the Apple ones. Not everybody will. That's always been the case with Apple accessories, right? Some people are like, I'm going to buy a case on Amazon, right? Like, but sure, Apple is going to make one that it can make a lot of money on and that it knows a lot of people are going to buy because it's from Apple.
Right. I mean, the argument, it extends beyond accessories, right? This is the same argument we've heard since time immemorial when it comes to Macs, right? Like, they would put them next to each other and be like, well, you could get a PC that has the exact same specs for, you know, half the price. And then the point is, well, yeah, but there's a lot of other stuff that goes into a Mac that makes people want to buy it, right? Like, it's not just the specs.
And a lot of times it's not the specs, right? A lot of times it's, well, but this thing starts at $399. It's like, well, yeah, but if you look at the $999 laptop that's Apple's lowest end laptop, you start to need to find a $799, $899 PC laptop that really is fit for it, right?
That happened with the iPhone too for a long time. I mean, I think less so now because the Android market has largely refocused on high end phones, at least from sort of the big offering things. But for a long time, that was the case where it was like, why buy an iPhone when you can get a cheap Android phone? And like, you know, my favorite is always the people who are like, which is basically the same, right? Like, it's just basically the same thing. It's like, well, no, it's not exactly the same thing.
It's not. Apple could make a cheap, this is what I say in the column, Apple could make a cheap plastic rickety MacBook for $399 if it wanted to. It would stink and it would like be bad for Apple's brand and people would be down on it and think that it was lousy because Apple has asked to be held to a higher standard so long now that they are.
Right.
And that's the brand promise. That's the power of their brand is you buy Apple's whole brand is I'm going to pay a little bit more, but I feel like I'm going to get more for it. And usually when you see people who are rolling their eyes at Apple products and Apple product pricing, it's people who don't think Apple adds more. And I think the nub of it is, do you believe that an Apple product is going to bring more to the equation than some rando product from someone else? And if you do believe that, then that's why you're buying it. And if you don't believe that, then okay, I guess you're right for PC World then.
Just tell me why you know Ferrari doesn't make a nice, comfortable $25,000 sedan that I can buy.
How great it would be if there was a Lamborghini for $14,000.
Yeah,
amazing.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, no, it would be a death trap actually because it would be very bad.
but that's people are willing. I think it's a particular type of person who feels like they are very knowledgeable about computers, right? Like, who often has this opinion. And they're boiling it down to, again, the specs, the things that seem very quantifiable.
Yes.
Right? And the trouble is, the thing, Apple's value has never been about the things that are quantifiable. Although, I'll argue, more recently, that has actually enabled them to, like, have a nice surprise when it comes to things like the M1 Mac, where it's like, yeah, it's cheap and it's incredibly performative. But in the past, I think a lot of, you know, Apple's greatest assets have come from stuff that is, you know, more qualifiable, right? Like, it's more about the experience. It's more about the OS. It's about the ease of use, all those things, right? Like, all of that came into play, and that was a thing that people were willing to pay more for, or the design, right? Like, all of this stuff, it is intangible, perhaps, until you actually find yourself using it, and then you realize, oh, this does have, it has benefits, right? Like, I get a benefit from the fact that my computer is well-designed, that it has an operating system that I don't have to spend a lot of time mucking around with, and that it works with most of my existing products, right? That actually does save me time and money. But at the same time, it is something that's harder to put into a, you know, a bar graph.
Well,
right?
Well, that's exactly that right. You talk to your average Apple Store person who's in there, and they're like, oh, Apple makes headphones that are like AirPods, but they are over your headphones. That's great. I'm going to buy a pair. And then, you know, well, actually, the guy steps up and says, well, actually, they don't really sound very much better than these Bose headphones that you can buy across the street, across the mall for $200 less. And the person at the Apple Store is like, yeah, but I'm at the Apple Store. These are from Apple. I know how AirPods work. I like that. Do the Bose things do all the same things? Well, no, but please go away, random man.
Right.
I'm just going to buy these.
I mean,
and again, other people are going to
be
like,
who might be swayed by that.
I don't want to spend the money, right? And
exactly.
That's fine.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's why there are different products, right?
And that's the brand psychology that I tried to get to in my Macworld piece this week, which is the power of brands makes you want to buy products from a brand, makes you buy products that you might, if they were random products, you might choose something else, but the brand invests in it something that you perceive as having value, even though some other people maybe don't. But it cuts both ways. Power of brands also means people get really irate if a brand makes a product that doesn't appeal to them, because they feel
this is the moment
that I was amazed by this was when the 12-inch MacBook was announced, and there were all of these incredibly high-end computer nerds who were like, this product is outrageous. And it's like, well, just because you don't want it doesn't mean that other people might not want it. It doesn't have to be for you, but that happens, and it's happening with this. I definitely see it with this product too, where there's definitely one level that's just, well, how dare they make a product that I don't think is worth buying? It's like,
what's worse about that to me is also just it tells me you don't understand Apple or the industry, right? Because Apple is not going to make a product on a whim. They're not going to like spend all this time designing and developing and marketing and pricing and testing a product because it appeals to 30 people, right? It's just not going to happen. And certainly in the past, they've done things where they've misstepped. I don't want to argue that that's not a challenge and a risk, but I think it's rarely because they go in there thinking, yeah, we're just going to make this small little niche product that won't really appeal to anybody, because that's just not how any company should operate, at least not one that works with broad-facing consumer technology. And that's the part where I feel like people go into this thinking like, why would they make this? This is a stupid product. It's like, do you think they might know something about the market that you don't?
Interesting. So what you're saying is when Apple releases a set of headphones for $549, and everybody immediately says, oh my God, I can't believe you priced it at $549, the reaction of people on the inside is probably like, oh, we didn't even think about the price and whether it was high or low. We just used random.org to pick a price, right? Like, this is the thing, is they might be wrong. They've been wrong before. The HomePod is a great example of a product that the way they built it and the way they priced it and what they thought of it, you looked at it and you're like, are they really? And they didn't sell, it's very clear, as many as they thought they would. It's also possible that there are lots of other things going on here. It's possible they're supply constrained. Apparently, this horrible overpriced product is sold out for like more than a month now.
What a shock.
So there's that, which means they've sold everyone at that price and made all that money. That's pretty good. Another thing I mentioned in my piece is the Apple of today is not the Apple of 5 years ago, where the price is the price and it's the only price that you can get anywhere.
Yeah.
Apple doesn't do that anymore. Starting with sort of 2016, when they came out with those MacBook Pros that everybody complained were way too expensive, they baked in extra price so they could do discounts at places like Amazon and Best Buy and deal sites and stuff like that. And you see them doing that all the time. There was a story about how the M1 Mac Mini was on sale somewhere. And it's like,
I've seen the M1 MacBook Air on sale already, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, the one that really taught me the lesson was that the Retina MacBook Air went out for $1,099 and we were all disappointed that it wasn't $999. And like, I swear, 90% of the time after it came out for the next year, you could find a deal somewhere for $999. Like, it was really $999 if you would be patient. And that was part of their strategy, is they baked more money into the base price, figuring, first off, a lot of people are just going to buy it for that price. And second, that it gave them room to give back some money and market this stuff as on sale here and there, which a lot of companies, you know, do all the time. But Apple, for a long time, kind of didn't do that and didn't play that game. And now they play that game. But the counterpoint to something like the HomePod is like the iPhone. Remember when the iPhone 10 came out and people were like, whoa, $1,000 phone. And this is the moment where I walked away from the Twitter conversation this week, was somebody in the mentions said to the guy I was debating with about this, who said it's overpriced. And I was like, how do you know? He said, this person came in and said, they also said $1,000 plus phone wouldn't sell. And the guy's response was, they don't. Like, okay, I'm walking away now because it's not true. Like, everybody screamed about Apple selling $1,000+ phones, and they do sell. They do sell. Apple sells more than just that.
They've been selling for years now.
But they do sell because some people buy them. And Apple, to get back to that point of Apple not stumbling out the door with a $549 price, not realizing what they were doing, is they're calculating a lot of stuff, what it costs for them to make it, how many they're going to have on hand, what they want to do in terms of deals and cutting prices on Amazon and stuff like that down the road. But they're doing the math also, because if you could sell more for a lower price and make it up in volume, you would set a lower price. They think, at least for now, $549 is the maximum price, because this is what they're there for, to maximize revenue for that product, maximize profit for that product.
Right.
And it's $549. And we may not like it, and they may be wrong, but they are doing it for a reason.
As somebody said, and I think this is an astute point that we've made before, it's a lot easier to drop the price on something than raise the price on something. So you start out at the highest price the market will bear, and if it doesn't sell, you cut the price. But you can never do a thing where it's like, well, we sold a ton of these, we should jack it up.
We should jack up that price.
That's not going to happen. But $549 is a smart price, because let me tell you, I am betting they will be down to $499, at least on sale for sure, and maybe even an official price within a year.
I would guarantee you that in 2021 they'll be under $500 on Amazon at some point. I guarantee it, because that's the game they play. That's part of what they're doing here. But you're right; it gives them a chance to reprice it next year, perhaps when they get up to volume, possibly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's also possible that this is a hedge and they want to see how it goes and they want to see how production goes, and that there are rumors, right, that this was kind of a troubled product where they had to throw a bunch of stuff out that they wanted to put in because they couldn't get it ready in time or it didn't work right. It's also possible that they already know they're going to replace this in a year, and that one's going to be more expensive to make, so they've got to price it in now and rather than raise the price. It's also possible that they will just cut the price or release a new model with a reduced price. Like, they got lots of options, but you're right, jacking the price up is probably not one of them. So I don't know, it's fun, it's fascinating. Like, bottom line is, seriously, I don't know if this product is any good or not. It may not be. It may be a bad value. The people who have them really can say that for sure. And I'm looking forward to finding out, because I'm curious. It's not a product for me, but I'm curious about it. But that's the reason that we're talking about it, is that so much of the conversation about this was not based on any actual information about the product.
Right. Nobody had them.
It was entirely based on ideas and the price and people's idea of value. And I felt like that was a great moment to say, how does Apple approach this? And I take it as a compliment that Michael Gartenberg, who used to work in marketing at Apple, retweeted out my story, because like he gets it. Like, he was on the inside there. And so you got it. This is right. So that felt pretty good to me. Because this is the game they play. And, you know, bottom line is, if you don't want a pair of $550 headphones, don't buy them. You can get a better deal on something for sure. I think the true motivator for a lot of this is, but I want them, right? And I get it, but I want them. But they're expensive, but I want them. It's like, that is the lot of being somebody who buys Apple products, right? Is, oh, I do want that product, but oh, it's so expensive. What am I going to do? And yeah. For those people, I would say, pay attention to what I said about how they are marketing their products now, which is, it'll be on sale. They didn't used to do that, but they do it now. So it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know I was talking on the Rebound this week about it. And I think, you know, one counterpoint that Lex brought up about it was, I think people took this as maybe indicative of a trend rather than the exception to the rule that I think it actually was. But, you know, we all remember the iPad in 2010 and how there was basically a leak right before it happened that suggested the price would be under $1,000. And then, of course, it turned out to be $500 and everyone was like totally blown away, right? But again, I think that's the exception to the rule. I think there is a time when Apple realized, oh, you know what? We can not only sell a bunch of these, but we can like make a good amount of money on them at $500. And that's going to totally like upend the market. And so we can be a little cagey about that. We can drum up a little surprise, a little PR on that. But it doesn't happen that often. I'm hard pressed to think of another good example, as a matter of fact. So, you know, don't take that as read. That was kind of a one off where I think that was the case where it actually had a move it could make that benefited in that direction. But it doesn't really happen that often.
The other thing that was funny about this week is that there was an Apple product announcement in the middle of December, right?
Yeah. What a weird year.
How strange is that? Which also leads me to believe that their supplies for that thing were limited. Not only did they get sold out really fast, but you know, they could announce it in December because they knew they weren't going to ship any of them or very many of them by Christmas anyway. And right, so right. Fair enough, but it is funny that we had somebody, Mike and I had somebody tell us after we were speculating about a December product release. They're like, no, Apple did their holiday guide emails and stuff. So they're done. It's locked now. Like it was the law. And Mike and I had that same conversation that I know you and I've had, which is Apple is not constrained by rules. It makes itself, right? Like right. If it does the holiday guide, people are like, yeah, we did the holiday guide, everybody, we're done. And then there's some other part of Apple that's like, we're releasing a product on December 8th. That's just what they're going to do, right? Like that it doesn't matter. And that guy took it in stride when Mike and I had been talking behind the scenes about, but the holiday guide. And it finally, when the product was announced, Mike wrote back to the guy on Twitter and was like, so, and he's like, yep. You were right. Hashtag Mike was right. But it is funny that they have this, and the AirTags are still out there. So, like New Year's Eve AirTag announcement for anyone?
Sure, why not?
Why?
They can do whatever they want.
Why not? They can do whatever they want. I am looking forward now to a little bit of a break from new Apple products, but who knows? Who knows what they're going to do?
I don't know. Anything could happen.
Anything could happen, but I look forward to people like Marco Arment and other people who care about over-ear headphones to do some nice reviews of the AirPods Max, because
my guess is they'll be fine and they may even be good, but I think a lot of people will still conclude that they're probably more priced than maybe a little overvalued, but I think
that's what Gruber said, right? Gruber's post came out and he basically said he is not necessarily the best judge of audio stuff, but that they sounded great, and that he said his review was fascinating because it was that the spatial audio stuff was amazing, but only is supported with iPhones and iPads, which is frustrating because you kind of want to put those on and sit in front of a big TV, and I get that. That's a different use case, but I totally get that. But yeah, I think that's going to be the answer: is they sound great. They probably sound different from the $300 headphones and maybe better or maybe the same. And it's going to come back to the same argument, which is all the things I listed earlier. Like, do you like how they look? Do you like the wireless technology being more seamless? Do you like the spatial audio? Like, it's the same stuff.
It's the intangibles.
So everybody go into your local Apple store. Nope. Maybe can't do that. But you know, It's fine. I look forward to it. I'm happy to not be reviewing that product. Just fine about that. Just fine.
After review, you can skip that one.
I'm gonna skip that one. Anything else going on? It's December. There shouldn't be anything going on.
Yeah, it is December.
On.
No, it should be quiet. One would hope it would stay quiet mm-hmm. for a little bit longer. No, I think we're in the ramp up to the holidays.
Big exciting thing for me is that after several months where all I've been doing is being focused on 20 Macs for 2020 and Apple product reviews, I have started adding story items to my story list that I could write, which that is the bread and butter of what I do, especially for Six Colors, is these little items on my reminders list. And there was a period there where there was nothing going in it because there was just too much else going on. And I'm starting to add those in. So I've got a couple story ideas that I might try to write one today. But that's nice because it had been a while since I had any bandwidth to do anything like that. So that'll be a relief. In addition to just the rest of trying to take it a little easier over the holidays, I'm also hoping to clear out some of this stuff that it's been a busy few months. So I'm hoping that we'll get a little bit of a break the next 3 weeks to just, lay down.
Yeah, that sounds nice. Yeah. I could use it.
It's a lay down? Sure.
Yeah, I could use a lay down for all of December. That sounds great.
Okay. Well, we're going to do that then, except for this podcast, which must continue. It must.
Sure. Well, calendar
demands. Calendar demands it. Exactly right. You said it. So we'll be back next Friday for that. And then to be determined when we'll be back. But we won't be back the following two Fridays because those are holidays, people.
Yeah, holidays. That seems like probably not.
So, maybe we'll shift to a Thursday or a Wednesday, or we'll do something special, or we'll keep you informed. But we've got another week to not make that decision. Because we'll be back next Friday. Yeah, it's all good. But thank you all, and happy holidays. Happy, it was first night of Hanukkah last night. So for those who celebrate Hanukkah, I bought last year a hilarious Philips LED menorah. You plug it in, and then you press a button on it.
Is it a smart menorah?
It is not a smart menorah. You have to press a button to advance the days. And it was so memorable, this hilarious present that I bought last year, that Lauren brought it out of the box this year and looked at me and said, "What is this?" And I said, "It's my hilarious thing that I bought you." Anyway, it made me laugh again. Basically, it was a gift for me, to myself, to other people, but just to myself, because I get to laugh at how silly it is that there's this light bulb button menorah thingy. But anyway, for those who are celebrating Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah. Other holidays are also available. And if you're just feeling a non-localized feeling about the winter solstice, it's coming. It's coming. Very soon now.
Any minute.
But that's more calendar talk for next week. So until then, bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.